Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Hastings Room Radio, Year 12. It's our third visit to the BC Cider Festival. No, that's not true. I missed the first year. I was so mad at myself that I missed it. I decided to head for year two, had a ball, and couldn't wait for this year to roll around. It's the BC Cider Festival. It's the most fun you can have with clothes on. There were at least 40 cideries in the room and outside of the pipe shop in North Vancouver. And I apologize to those I didn't get to. I tried to talk to as many cider makers as possible. And then they opened the doors and all hell broke loose. It was just a jam because it had sold out months in advance. And you couldn't get near the tables or the cider makers. Anyway, here's who we're talking to. Truck 59 Cider, BC Tree Fruits, the Bricker Cider Company, Twin Islands Cider in the Gulf Islands, North Yards Cider Company in Squamish, Nomad Cider Company in Summerland. And you know that a cider named Persephone would have to be in Gibson's. Geo Cider Company in Squamish and Windfall in East Vancouver. Please enjoy. This is the third annual BC Cider Festival Pipe Shop, North Vancouver. Next week, it's Bloom in Victoria. And in 2 weeks, Top Drop in Victoria. Enjoy this BC Cider Festival coverage, year three. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Recently named one of the top 8 wineries in Canada and one of the top 4 wineries in BC. Just a heads up, you can find them at Chef Meets BC Grape, June the 8th, for the Taste of the Okanagan. And right now, they're looking to hire Tasting Room personnel. All the details at bench1775.com. It's the third annual BC Cider Festival. It's the wrap-up at the Pipe Shop, foot of Lonsdale, North Vancouver. Sean Pizio is one of the organizers and also one of the partners in Choch, which is his company, spelled T-X-O-T-X, which is Basque. Okay, we got that out of the way. Tell me about this year as opposed to last year. What's happened in the 3 years in the growth?
Well, cider in general, but especially this festival, has been amazing. It's actually surprised us completely. Every year, we've doubled in size. So, you know, we started very humbly at 250 people in the first year, 500 last year, and now this year we're at 500, or 1,000. And we have about 11,000 people on the Facebook page wanting tickets. So it's a good problem to have, but we're trying to figure out what next year looks like.
Okay, but the obvious question is, do you want to just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger until you end up in the Coliseum? Or what?
No, that's a very good point. We've talked a lot about that, and I think, as a group, we've kind of decided like this is probably the size that we're comfortable with, and to really showcase the cideries and make sure that people are actually enjoying the cideries and it doesn't turn into, let's say, just a drinking-focused event.
Well, it also means that anybody who wants to be in this room has to make their plans maybe a year in advance.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, when tickets went on sale in January, they sold out in 4 hours. So the people who are coming are the people who put it in their calendar, set their alarms, and didn't hesitate.
Now, how many cideries that first year?
That first year, we had a great response. I believe first year we were about 25 cideries.
And last year was what, 32, 33?
About, yep, 32.
And this year?
Right now, as it stands, we're at 41.
Is that tapped out or is it going to get bigger?
It's getting bigger. There's already, you know, there's a couple that weren't able to make it. And there's a couple that we know that are in the works of getting set up and getting everything up and running, and we'll expect them next year.
Okay, two questions going full circle with Sean Pizio, who helped to organize all of this. One is, you talked about what's happened to cider, but really, what's happened to cider?
Yeah, it's a little bit, I think the secret's out. You know, we always kind of thank the craft beer industry.
For showing the way?
Yeah, and it really opened up that market and showed people that there was interesting craft products being made locally. And because of that, people started searching out other types of craft products. Yeah. And cider has been made in BC for a long time. And because of the market now being here, you're seeing more and more cideries start up, more craft cideries that are really focused on really niche, really specialty type products that I would say even 5 years ago, there probably wasn't a market for.
I keep seeing the word traditional on many of the websites and Facebook. So what is traditional cider anymore?
Oh, that's a heated discussion. We could talk about an hour for that. So, you know, in our mind, traditional cider is apples. You know, that seems silly to say, but, you know, it should be made from apple. You know, then there gets into discussions about heirloom cider apples and dessert apples. You know, there's different camps in terms of what that means. And then the traditional methods, you know, basically letting the apple shine through. Treating it with respect and not adding a bunch of sugar, not watering it down, all kinds of stuff like that.
The other story that you and I both know about is rosé has gone crazy in the wine world. Is there a cider version of rosé?
Yeah, there's all kinds of really great stuff. That's the thing. You've got everything from wild fermented, funky, acidic ciders to now you're seeing stuff like Nomad has a barrel-aged Pinot Noir cider that laid down in Pinot barrels for a period of time, and it is a beautiful rosé-colored cider. And you're seeing stuff like single varietal ciders made from red-fleshed apples that actually naturally pour a beautiful rosé color with this really big body on it. We want this event to be kind of an all-inclusive event for the province, especially for the Vancouver market. You know, a lot of these cideries are based where their orchards are, in the Okanagan, in Vancouver Island, up the Sunshine Coast, and a lot of people in Vancouver never get the chance to make the 1-2-4-hour drives to those cideries. So we wanted to have an event that was kind of like the local tasting event for a chance for some of these cideries to pour in front of a big, very passionate Vancouver market.
Okay, last thing. I'm standing in front of a wall of beer and cider up island, a mother and a daughter, and the mother has convinced the daughter that ciders are too sweet. Oh, they're sweet. Well, at one point, they were. Mm. You can't do that. You can't make that judgment call anymore.
Yeah, definitely not. And I would say, 10 years ago, that was definitely kind of the profile that was predominant in BC. But if you look at the shelf now, you've got bone dry ciders, just taken, fermented completely to dryness. You've got raspberry lavender ciders from BX Press that are huge botanical ciders. The sweetness is coming down. People are looking for products that are more crisp, refreshing, interesting, bigger bodies on them.
Challenging. Are you going to hand out awards today as well?
So today we're going to do the People's Choice Award. So it's going to be voted on by the participants and everybody who comes today. We do have a cider program, an awards program, and we're actually splitting that out into a separate event now. It's becoming big enough that we want to make it a very special type of thing.
Okay, and that begs the last question. Participants, who is the cider drinker these days?
Well, that's the thing is it's changed a lot. I don't think there is a single type of demographic that you can say anymore. Craft beer drinkers are coming into cider. Wine drinkers, especially people who are into natural wines, are coming into cider. You've got the old school cider people who are all of a sudden ecstatic because there's now hundreds of more different types of cider out in the market. So it used to be some kind of, cliches or comments about what the typical cider maker was, but that's kind of out the window now.
Okay, Sean, one question. Is anybody doing cannabis infused here?
Not yet.
Is it coming?
I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know what the laws and regulations and licensing is about that, but I would be surprised if that's not happening. Hop ciders are already a big thing, so...
Okay. For those people who are saying, how did I miss the first 3 years? What's the website? What's the Facebook page?
bccciderfest.ca is the website. And just on Facebook, BC Cider Festival, you can search for that. And on Instagram is BC Cider Fest.
And just know that this always takes place at the Pipe Shop, foot of Lonsdale, North Vancouver, just like that.
Right, during BC Cider Week.
Thank you. Congrats.
Thank you very much.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a weekly celebration of food, wine, and life with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
It is so a made-up name. This was made up by a marketing department. Sydney Bottomley is the cider maker, BC Tree Fruits Cider Company. In front of me is the Broken Ladder Artisanal Rosé from Orchard to Glass, well, can in this manner. How old are you now?
I'm 28.
What are your friends drinking these days?
I am in the middle of wine country, but I'm slowly converting them over to cider.
What is that age group? Just under 30. What do they think about what do they think cider is? Despite what you might say to them, what's their attitude?
It's definitely growing in popularity. We're slowly taking shares away. It's an easy summertime drink, low alcohol, easy to go. If you don't want something of the higher alcohol in the wine, definitely getting a lot of people to switch over.
Okay, that's the first cider that's been put in front of me. This is the rosé.
It is our 6 varieties of apples, and then we use multiple different varieties of cherry to give it the color and that little bit of cherry flavor.
What's the color?
Kind of like a pale pinky red.
This is good.
It's really smooth, yeah.
Cherries,
yeah, all Okanagan grown.
Beyond the title rosé, did you make it for rosé drinkers or just to get people's attention as well?
We needed rosé for the color, and being in the middle of wine country, it seemed really appropriate for us. people seem to really like it.
What are you pouring from Broken Ladder today?
We have all four of our canned varieties. We have our original apples, and it's got six different kinds of apples in there.
Right.
We have our next one, which is apples and hops. It's our driest and highest alcohol. Six kinds of apples, four kinds of hops. And then pears and peaches. It's our sweetest and lowest alcohol. Fermented peaches, fermented apples, and back-sweetened with pear juice. And then our brand new, only a couple of months old, rosé, apples and cherries mix.
Are you selling these in these rosés in packs of four, or you get them singles, or what?
It's in a pack of four tall cans.
Okay. Do you know what the price point is?
About $13.
Thank you very much. And her name is Sydney Bottomley. She is the assistant cider maker, BC Tree Fruits Cider Company, and she is pouring all the Broken Ladder series, and I'm trying the rosé. This is the BC Cider Festival at the Pipe Shop for the Lonsdale, North Vancouver.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
I have found Russ Johnson, the owner and cider maker from Truck 59 Cider. Okay, did you do the Cider Festival in the Okanagan yesterday and now in North Vancouver today?
Hey, Terry. Yeah, thanks. We did Okanagan Cider Festival yesterday in Kelowna. We hosted it. Fantastic venue we had out there. We had 22 cideries and plus ourselves. We had two live bands and three chefs from the Kelowna region.
And then did you drive overnight or come down this morning?
No, we came down this morning.
What time?
We left at about quarter after six.
Of course you did. But there was nobody else on the highway.
No, and we got here early enough to have a Caesar.
That's fantastic. Is the Okanagan liking cider the way we do here in the coast?
Totally. Oh, yeah. Cider's becoming huge out there. We're seeing more and more cideries come up, and people are getting into it. Our event last night speaks to that. We had about 600 people there. We had a 250-person waiting list, and my phone text was ringing off the hook for people looking for more tickets. So it's becoming quite the vibe.
Okay, and now, were you here? You weren't here last year, were you?
No, we only opened last June. So we opened June of 18.
Okay, what was the impetus for getting into the business? I mean, because you were a farmer first, right?
I grew up on a farm out in the prairies. And before that, my career is actually, I was a pharmacist, close to a farmer.
Did that help?
The pharmacist? Yeah, yeah, 100%, because it's got the chemistry background. I sort of minored in microbiology, so that helped a ton. My farming background, where I grew up as a kid, although it was barley and cattle, I knew what it was like to be a farmer.
Seasons. You know about seasons.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Okay, now what are you you've got quite a few. But how big is the portfolio?
Well, we've got eight ciders out this year. We've got a classic dry English-style cider. We have a semi-modern that's actually quite dry. And then we've got a blackberry bourbon. And then a few other different ciders that are fruit-based.
Okay, we're talking Truck 59 Cider House. Ross Johnson, the owner and cider maker, has come down from West Kelowna here in North Vancouver. Now, what's the one in front of me?
This is our modern semi-dry, Terry.
Why is it modern?
You know, we called it modern because it's a combination of dessert apples, so mostly Johnnagold and Braeburn, a little bit of Pink Lady. And then we use six different cider apples, bittersweet, bitter sharps in it. But it's only 30% cider apples and 70% dessert apples. So that's why we called it
that's
modern.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I zero in on the, give me the bone dry core, right, literally where you started your business from.
I love it. You're a cider purist.
That's what I want.
Cool.
What else is over there? You got the raspberry hibiscus?
So the raspberry hibiscus, and we actually came out with a raspberry pear this year. And it's very different. It's Bartlett pear. And when we fermented it, we didn't ferment the juice. We actually fermented a pear sauce. Amazing on your palate with the raspberries and the pear, the way we fermented it.
Can we find the truck all over the province?
Yes, not quite all over the province yet. We've only been around for about 9 months. So we're in Victoria, Vancouver. We're moving our way through the Fraser Valley. We're in across the Okanagan, the Kootenays.
Okay, I'm just looking at your signs there. The modern semi-dry, that's what we're drinking. Raspberry, pear, cherry and apple, bourbon, blackberry, the raspberry. And you got a couple more at home, yeah?
Yeah, and a Haskap here. Yeah, and I think we left our classic dry at home. We didn't bring that with us just because we wanted to profile some of the other ones. We brought the classic dry out first last year. Okay. Got another raspberry one at home, and that's our portfolio for this year.
Cool. I wish you the best. congratulations, and thank you for coming down.
Thank you for having us, Terry.
He is Russ Johnson, the owner of Cider Maker, truck59cider.com. They're on Brown Road, West Kelowna. Try the modern semi-dry apple cider and then work out from there. You're going to have a ball with these guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Their highly anticipated White Merlot 2018 has finally come to the tasting room and to their website this weekend. If you're in the Okanagan, stop by to snag some bottles. Make this the summer you try the Bench 1775 White Merlot. Bench1775.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch Wines. Just for the record, The Hatch Wines are Blacksmith Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy, Crown and Thieves, Gobsmacked, Talking Stories, The Merch, and The Hatch Wines. All of this, and maybe even all of the details, at thehatchwines.com.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We're at the Pipe Shop, foot of Lonsdale, North Vancouver. With his last card, I'm going to talk to Nick Farrar, the founder of the Brecker Cider Company in Seashell, lovely Seashell, where my dad was a game warden. How long have you guys been in operation?
It'll be 2 years in June.
What got it in motion? What happened?
The background to the story is actually all based from the family's grandma. So I'm married to a girl from the Sunshine Coast. So herself, myself, and her two brothers are the owners of the business. But the family had a two-acre heritage orchard since the 70s. And grandma used to always try and get the kids, grandkids, to make cider with the apples. They never did until this weird Englishman turned up. And kind of that kick-started it all.
But did you arrive with cider-making skills or just drinking skills?
Bit of both.
Yeah.
Being English myself, so I used to make a bit of cider in England and beer as well. And then actually when I moved to Canada 6 years ago, I started working for a brewery. So that sort of started off.
What kind of apples were you working with?
Currently we've got about... we have over 100 varieties. My father-in-law's property, which was grandma's property, is every single tree is a different variety. So there's over 100 varieties there. And then on the actual cidery location, which is just a kilometer away from grandma's location, we have about 9 different varietals there, from Dabernet to Jersey Chisel, Yarlington Mill, but we also do some dessert apples as well.
I made a note here. This is Cinco de Mayo when we're talking. You have a Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we made it especially for Cinco de Mayo. So we did it last year. It was really popular. And we're pouring that today. It's got some sea salt from Vancouver Island in there. And then it's also got some chilies and jalapenos that we grew.
Get out.
Did you
bring it?
Yeah, that's on tap.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Now, what's in the glass?
That's our Sun Coaster. So that's purely Sunshine Coast apples in there. Lots of heritage varieties in there, lots of funky things. It's a blend of lot of different apples, but it's dry, the driest one we make, done wild ferment as well.
This is fantastic. Can we find Brecker in most stores?
Yeah, we're not in the BC liquor stores, but you can find us in private liquor stores in the Lower Mainland. I think we're in about 150 different places now. And the easiest place to find us is to go on our website, brickerscider.com, and there's a map on there.
Thank you. This is Nick Farrar, founder, Brecker Cider Company.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
Along with Gerda Leite, Michael Schelt co-runs and co-owns Salt Spring Cider Company. Salt Spring Wild is how you see them on the bottle and the label. Craft Cider, Untamed. Let's take them one at a time. Tell me about the Untamed part and welcome back.
thanks for chatting with me, Terry. The Untamed part, actually, that's... That's kind of key to what we do. Basically, our cidery is based on, you know, what we identify as the wild apple trees of Salt Spring Island, which were just they spread all over the island, 100-year-old trees that haven't been really cared for in a long time, ever since the heyday of apple production on Salt Spring.
But they survived.
They did survive, and they've kind of flourished. I think there's something special about a tree that's just been left to its own devices, and they find a way to make it happen.
When you guys took over, did you assist those trees? Did you prune them back? Did you feed them?
Well, no, actually. When we started out, it was just knocking on people's doors, and they weren't our trees. And so actually the neat thing about the Salt Spring Wild Cider is that it's using apples from trees that spread across the island, maybe 150 different properties and farms.
Yeah.
And so they weren't our trees, and the farmers and property owners weren't sort of taking care of them. Mostly the benefactor of those trees were the deer on the island. And so when we came around, at first it was just people were just sort of giving us apples and saying, hey, good luck with it, and let's see what you can do.
What was the first cider?
The first cider was our dry cider. We think that, you know, even to this day, that sort of showcases...
It's the best.
It's the best.
It's the best.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, well, we love it. That's one that we drink a lot at the cidery ourselves, and it sort of showcases the variety of apples that we find on Salt Spring that's really quite unique about it.
He is Mike Lischelt, the co-owner and the cider maker at Salt Spring Wild. So how big is the portfolio now?
The portfolio? Well, I don't know. We've been growing sort of steadily every year. I guess the word has been catching, and the cidery is you know, like the traffic through our cidery is bigger and bigger and bigger each year as people get to know it as a destination on Salt Spring. There's a lot of excitement around that, and so we've been really just trying to manage it all. And then on the other hand, sort of getting out into liquor stores across southern British Columbia, that's been just sort of a gradual process.
And well, we've
been
when did we start to pay attention to what you were making?
Well, you know, I think people on Salt Spring were excited right away. And so there was that level of attention that was kind of intrinsic to what we were doing.
But you had to get everybody's attention.
We had to get everybody's attention. No, I don't know how that happened, frankly. It just it just seemed to be sort of in demand. We showed up at liquor stores and liquor stores would call and say, look, we had somebody asking about you, and it just sort of went from there and just blossomed.
We're at the third annual BC Cider Fest, the Pipe Shop, foot of Lonsdale, North Vancouver. We've come to expect Salt Spring Wild to be here. Wonderful cider house. Mike Lischelt has joined me here at the table to talk and pour. Did you have any idea? Come on, you can level with me. Any idea that cider would take off the way it did?
Well, we did have a clue, and the clue was what was happening in the South. In the Washington State and Oregon, cider there just exploded. And so we sort of saw that happening. And then we looked around and we saw the apple trees on Salt Spring and the history of apple production there. We became more and more aware of that. And it just it seemed to make perfect sense. Why wasn't there a cidery on Salt Spring Island?
What are you pouring today?
Today we've got the dry and semi-dry. This year's batches, there's always a bit of seasonal variation, and we're really excited, especially about the dry right now. It's we think that really just really pops. And then we've got four sort of more creative, that's kind of the wrong way of putting it, but four sort of less traditional ciders, let's call them. One that's been really popular is Bitter Orange Rosemary.
Yeah.
And then we've got Hopped Apricot. And then we went really off the wall, and we did a blackcurrant akavit cider. Nobody knows what akavit is, we realized once we did it. But it's a neat sort of Norwegian spirit made by Sheringham Distillery. And so we're using sort of local, working with the local craft distillers. We add that to a black currant and apple cider. And so those flavors sort of, they do something special there. And then there's one more in there that I might be forgetting. Oh, a maple bourbon apricot as well. And that's basically we made a... We got our hands on some organic apricots and made a wine, an apricot wine out of that. Blended it with an apple cider and aged the whole thing in maple bourbon barrels. And so, yeah, it's amazing that the barrels were just leaching out this maple syrup that was infused with all this stuff.
He is Mike Lischelt, the co-owner and the cider maker at Salt Spring Wild. This is getting serious.
It's getting serious, yeah. Well, we have fun with it. And... you know, the barrels look really cool, and you get the flavor of the oak coming through the cider. And I just think cider is really kind of an amazing base from which to build out different flavors. The apple, in particular, just takes it really well.
And finally, Salt Spring and you guys as a destination. It was always the calling. People would go to Salt Spring for the market, but now there's many reasons to go, and you're one of them.
Yeah, it's nice to be part of it, frankly, and I think we're all kind of growing together. There's a great cheese company on the island that draws families, and
there's Barb's.
A lot of excitement. Yeah, Barb's Buns. Yeah. We all end up there one way or another.
I want my bowl of chowder.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's lots of places that give people a twinkle in the eye, and it's just nice to be part of the group in that regard, I think.
You know what else is out there? You know what else is out there?
What else is out there?
Outspoken Bike Shop, downtown.
I know. You know, they fixed my bike on a few occasions, and I know that Sean and the crew there, they do a great job.
Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you very much, Terry.
Food, wine, friends, it doesn't get any better than that. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
You have to know about a couple of people. Twin Island is the name of the cidery. It's on Pender Island, and I'll leave the rest up for Matthew to tell us about. He is Matthew Vasilev, and she is Katie Selby, and they are Twin Island. Now, so I have you based on Pender Island, but you're getting your fruit from all three islands out there?
Correct. Pender Island, for the most part, main island next to us, Saturna Island, and some peri peris from a private island between the two.
Private island?
Yeah.
You're going on a private island? Have you told them?
They do know, thankfully. They're very nice caretakers.
Because, you know, you could do a midnight run if
we
you had
could.
To.
We've talked about it. Those are called Parks Canada Islands.
Oh, okay, cool. How long have you been a cidery?
We're entering our third year of production right now.
And how much has it grown?
Very slowly and steadily. We started at 9,000 liters and we've grown 30% every year. So we're just entering into 16,000 liters. The main difference is we press almost all our apples by hand. Press it ourselves, we pick the fruit, and then we press it ourselves. So we're picking the fruit to make the cider.
It's kind of fair to say that you make it with love.
And
passion.
Passion, for sure.
All right, so you're pouring from tall bottles. Tell me about that decision.
The cheekiest answer is it's less work. The better answer, the more correct answer is we want our ciders to be more celebratory. They kind of have to stand out and pause. If you're going to spend $20 a bottle, it's going to be special and you should be sharing it. So typically that's what differentiates our ciders. We do some small format stuff. Usually that's because we only have a couple hundred liters and we need it to go a little further. Our tall bottles, 750 mils, they're averaging around 1,000 liters of a batch.
By the way, the label, which I'm going to put on the website, Twin Island Cider, Wolf Moon, Pet Nat, how big is the portfolio?
We make 9 ciders a year, 9-10, roughly counting. That includes 5 tall flagship bottles and 3 to 4 cellar batches, we call them. About 3 or 4 of our small batches are pressed on a small wooden basket press, a 400-liter old wood Italian wine press. So those, ranging 200 to 400 liters, they're typically the funkier of our ciders.
Yeah, define funky. Give an example.
Farmhouse phenolics, so fermented with wild yeasts that include Brettanomyces, not exclusively. This one is the cider you're trying out right now, our Pet Nat, is wild fermented like all of our ciders, but doesn't have a super barnyard funk. Instead, it's got a little light smoke from some lactic acid bacteria, but otherwise it's a mixed culture. Quite fruity and exceptionally sweet on the nose, but pretty dry on the palate.
Okay, so tell me about the Pet Nat.
So the Pet Nat is short for Petulant Natural. It's also known as the Method Ancestral, and you bottle the cider as it's finishing fermentation. You don't know what your final product's going to be, so it's always going to be a crapshoot. It's going to drop a lot of sediment towards the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's going to put a lot of purists off. It's definitely been fun among...
It's millennials. Cloudy.
It's cloudy towards the bottom. You can pour off the top. It's pretty clear towards the top, so you kind of choose your own adventure.
Jay Drysdale at Bella, who make that wonderful bubble, they have a Pet Nat. On the bottle, it says, yes, it's cloudy, get over it. That's his marketing, right?
That's really good.
Basically, you know, it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You find the same thing in sake.
Yeah.
All that stuff. This is wonderful.
It's just yeast. Cool.
You know, you can tell me this. You don't have to reveal this if you want, but don't you think you're different from everybody else? This is a room filled with different people. You guys are off doing something special.
It's true. We sometimes do feel alone in a room. Besides the obvious of the styles of ciders that we're making, the fact we're picking almost all the fruit ourselves, some of the backyards and the owners of the apple trees pick them for us, but our entire production right now is coming from 50 backyards and orchards across the Gulf Islands, and most of them range from 6 trees to a dozen.
It's a very handsome bottle, and people, frankly. Twin Island, On Pender Island, and I made these notes, 30 heritage orchards and some of them backyards?
That was our 2017 pressing. The last year it's gone up to 48 on Pender Island, one on Main, one on Saturna. So 50 backyards and orchards. Some were commercial orchards. The most significant is a 120-year-old orchard, which was the first homestead on Pender. That still has 70 apple and pear trees, which is producing 12 to 15,000 pounds of fruit, which we can use almost all of.
Fantastic.
It is pretty exciting. I mean, for a small producer such as ourselves, that means a lot, but on a large scale, that doesn't mean much. But to have a concentration of heritage fruit with six heirloom varieties of pears besides Bartlett and a dozen apples.
So what's the, how do you get off island? How do you get the word out? Because I know that everybody on these Gulf Islands is going to be a fan of what you're making, but you want beyond that.
We're lucky right now. Pender's suddenly kind of sprung onto the map for a lot of Vancouverites. So we're getting a lot of tourists in the summer coming from Vancouver particularly. So they get to stop by our tasting room, sample 6-7 of our ciders we currently have available. And then they go home and they start asking for our cider in liquor stores and restaurants, and we get phone calls.
So. Are you getting poured downtown Vancouver at some restaurants?
We're Shambar, Dachi, a new farm to table just opened up in East Hastings, Agri, that's Victoria, Anna Lena in Vancouver, but
those are good.
Those are nice places. Yeah.
What's the Victoria?
Agrius and Sherwood.
And where am I going to find it in Nanoose Bay?
Your Cascadia.
Yeah. Okay, cool. He is Matthew Vasilev and she is Katie Selby and they are Twin Island. Have yourself a great summer.
Thank you so much.
And enjoy the pour.
Cheers.
Well done.
Cool. Enjoy your cider.
Thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch Wines. Just for the record, The Hatch Wines are Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy, Crown and Thieves, Gobsmacked, Talking Stories, The Merch, and The Hatch Wines. All of this, and maybe even all of the details, at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775, recently named one of the top 8 wineries in Canada and one of the top 4 wineries in BC. Just a heads up, you can find them at Chef Meets BC Grape, June the 8th, for the Taste of the Okanagan. And right now, they're looking to hire tasting room personnel. All the details at bench1775.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio in North Vancouver, foot of Lonsdale at the Pipe Shop. It was right next door to the Erection Shop. That sign got stolen. The Pipe Shop is still here. It's a beautiful room. David Schneider is the sales manager for Persephone Brewing Company. I'm going to presume, because it's Persephone, that you are based in Gibson's Seashell.
We certainly are, yes. You know the reference.
Canadians of a certain age know that Persephone was Nick's boat,
yeah.
And it was talked about continually. It was a Canadian reference.
You nailed it, though, of a certain age. So I'd say anyone under 40, we play up the goddess of spring aspect, because even the boat was named after the goddess of spring.
Now, I only see one cider stack there. There's lots of it. Are you just making the one or just pouring the one today?
We only make the one cider. We might be the only booth here that only has one product, but we are a brewery primarily. We started off as Persephone Brewing Company, and for the last 2 years, we have started up Persephone Cider Works, and our one cider right now is our dry hop cider.
How's the fruit harvest up there? I mean, there must be a lot of trees.
There is a lot of trees on the Sunshine Coast. At the moment, we lease an orchard in Kelowna, but we've recently planted about 3 acres of English cider apples on our farm in Gibson's. We're based on agricultural land, so it's really important for us to incorporate agricultural products and growing those products into our system. And I think the great thing is cider is made purely out of an agricultural product, and the future of agriculture in BC relies on agritourism. And when you can add a product like cider or beer to it, it's really only going to bolster BC agriculture.
So what I hold in my hand is Persephone Brewing Company cider, keep refrigerated, good. Dry hop cider, 6.5%. Is it the hops I'm catching on the nose?
Yeah, so we don't necessarily put so many hops in here that you're going to taste it as a dry hop cider. It definitely adds some flavoring to it, but we feel like it's adding some levels and complexity and dryness that you're not going to get with the table apples that we're using currently. So like I said, we've got 3 acres of English cider apples planted. And the more those grow, maybe we'll have to use the hops a little less because you can you can get a far more complex cider when you're using cider apples.
How's the Persephone handle working in terms of handshakes across bars, etc., just getting people to pay attention?
It's working really well. People know the reference. People know us. We're gaining quite a reputation in the industry. We do things quite unlike any other brewery or cidery out there right now. We're hell-bent on sustainability, and think we're doing a bang-up job of it.
Let's talk about one more thing. Cider in British Columbia and in Canada. Mm-hmm. We know it's growing. How big can it get?
Yeah, I think it's limitless. There's a world market out there. It's just a matter of how many apples we can grow.
You have a website?
PersephoneBrewing.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Terry.
David Schneider, the sales manager for Persephone Brewing Company in Gibson Seashell.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
North Yards Cider Company, Squamish, British Columbia. Kathleen Vander Rey is the CEO. And I'm sure with most cideries and breweries, lots of other jobs.
Lots of other jobs. I also have a day job, so I'm not even at the cidery all the time.
What's the day job?
I'm a partner at a law firm in Squamish.
Okay,
as well.
Fine. Okay. Yeah. So was this just a hobby that got out of control?
It was, yes, essentially yes. So my partner was looking for a new job, essentially, and had been making cider alone in the house, just experimenting with different carboys and taking classes and that sort of thing. And I've always been interested in the beer and wine industry. And so she looked at me one day and she said, well, why don't we do a cidery? And that's sort of came from there. So we started with these funny little carboys all over our house, 20 liters at a time. We've gone to 2,000, 20,000 liters.
How long did that take?
It took about 4 years from inception to opening our doors.
And you didn't get discouraged? You just kept moving forward?
There were a lot of points where we looked at each other and said, do we quit now? And at each juncture, we just kept going.
North Yards Cider Company, Squamish, British Columbia. Kathleen Vander Rey is the CEO. What was the first cider that worked?
The semi-dry that I've given you a sample of here. It's fermented 100% to dry, and then we back sweeten it a little bit with ambrosia apple juice, which is kind of a neat apple for a cider. It's unusual, we think.
Okay, this again is the...
That's the semi-dry.
What's the bone dry like?
The bone dry is got...
Is it pucker?
It's a bit... It's got some more tartness to it. It's really popular as well as our semi-dry. It's just that I prefer the semi-dry.
And what foods are you pairing with this?
Cheese goes incredibly with all, but we just introduced a new banh mi to our menu, so that Vietnamese sub sandwich sort of thing, and we've got a vegan one and a meat-based one. It's incredible because the acidity and the marinade on the tofu or the meat and the pickled vegetables is incredible with this.
North Yards Cider Company, Squamish, British Columbia. Kathleen Vander Rey is the CEO. What's the reference to North Yards?
North Yards is the community in Squamish where we were living at the time when we started the cidery. We wanted a name that gave it a sense of place in Squamish, but wasn't your typical Garibaldi cider, Squamish cider. We didn't want it to sound... as common, I guess. So North Yards also has a real neat industrial background. It's the north... It's the...
So it's like the, a railway.
It is. It's the railway north of the port in Squamish. So,
okay. Yeah. And what kind of... Were you accessing your fruit?
From the Okanagan. Okay. We have an orchardist up there that presses... He cold presses our fruit for us, sends it down to us in 1,000-liter totes, and then we ferment it all on site in Squamish.
So what are you pouring today?
We have our semi-dry and our blackberry, which is all our ciders are dry. We call semi-dry because we've just taken off a hint of that super dryness.
How wide is the portfolio? How many are you making?
We have five sort of flagship ciders on tap at our tap house. But then we have a few experimental, really fun stuff too that we pour at special cider makers dinners that are invite only things.
Wait a minute. You were talking about a basement, now you're talking about a tap house.
Yeah.
Are you in the basement or are you in the tap house?
Oh, we're in the tap house now. So, yeah. End of August, we opened a really beautiful tasting room. We have a small kitchen and people can come and hang out and play shuffleboard. And
so it's all come to pass.
It did. We didn't say no at those junctures.
And you walked away from your legal profession?
No, I'm the managing partner of my law firm.
Get out.
Yeah. We have other business partners in the cidery too, and everybody just rolls up their sleeves and takes on different hats and gets it all done.
All right, counselor, let me ask you this question. What's going to happen when cannabis starts to get introduced to the cider business?
Well, it's interesting. That was the topic at CiderCon, which is the annual cider conference down. It was in Chicago this year. And it's really, they're still trying to figure out, there's the THC and the CBD component, but it's still not legal down there to combine the two.
But here,
we're not there yet. We're not doing edibles here yet, as far as I understand. So anything you ingest that way, anything other than smoking, is not legal. So it'll be a ways. We might try something with THC, but we might just leave that to the beer guys. I don't know.
It's not unknown to your area. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you, Nora. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Kathleen Vanderee is the CEO North Yard Cider Company, Squamish, British Columbia.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
We're at the BC Cider Festival, North Vancouver. Mike Petko is the cider maker and the owner of Nomad Handcrafted Cider in Summerland. When did this journey start for you?
Well, honestly, making beer is the start of it. We started making all-grain beer about 8 years ago, and then we kind of moved into cider because we were drinking cider. We found craft cider and then started making cider as well and just kept on making product for fun, and eventually our friends told us to sell it, so we did.
What's happened in your conscience? What has happened to cider consumption and awareness in the last 3 years?
Oh, it's exploded for sure. People, I think the craft beer scene is like really what drove it, because people are looking and trying new interesting beers. Yeah. Sour beers are a thing, so now people are kind of getting their palates moved towards more acidic things, and then then wine and cider kind of fall in that category, and beer drinkers are coming and trying new stuff.
So what's happened to dry, good old dry cider?
Proper dry cider is now being made again. A lot of the bigger commercial companies are making sweeter cider. So that's what a lot of people think about cider. It's like a sweeter, very like kind of alco pop sort of style. But there's a lot of dry ciders here at this event. People are making it like true dry wines, basically.
Mike Petko has stepped forward to represent Nomad Handcrafted Cider. You're based in Summerland?
We are in Summerland, yeah.
There's a lot of fruit around there. Are you accessing from your area?
Yeah, all our fruit actually is coming from the area, so 70 kilometers or less of where we actually make the cider. So all our cider is made from fresh pressed juice. We buy farmer direct, so we don't go through big companies. We know the farmers. We are farmers. We have our own orchard. We actually get our own fruit as well.
That's key.
Yeah, so it's very farm to glass oriented. We are very connected with the community.
Are we talking organics here?
We use organic apples. Not all of it's organic, but we do have some products that are 100% organic. Like our Keeve cider, for example, it's 100% organic apples.
Mike Petko, Nomad Handcrafted Cider. What are you pouring today?
We are pouring our original, which is our easy drinking cider, a traditional dry, which is a little bit drier, more traditional British style, a maple bourbon barrel. And so that's a barrel fermented in maple and bourbon barrels. And then we have a Pinot Noir barrel fermented cider that we're pouring as well.
Okay, Mike, tell me about these fans. What are the things that they want to see or read or hear about on a bottle that catches their attention?
I think, in my opinion, the simple branding is a big thing. So they just want to know what they're going to drink. So you got to kind of communicate that on the label in some way.
Because, you know, there's hundreds of bottles.
There is. There's so much selection. So you really got to have a clear message on the bottle to let them know what they're going to expect.
And what's yours at Nomad?
We actually label exactly the way it went into it. So Pinot Noir barrel is called Pinot Noir barrel because it was from apple cider fermented in a Pinot Noir barrel. Our traditional dry is a traditional cider. It's made with 100% cider apples, so it's traditional dry.
Do you have a rosé?
We our Pinot Noir barrel is red, it's pink, so it's a rosé, yeah. And we have it in a clear bottle so people can see the color.
Have you talked about cannabis infused?
We have talked about that. It's interesting to think about all that because alcohol mixed with THC and CBD, it could be a bit of an issue for some people. So I've seen some products that are coming out of California that they actually de-alcoholize the wine and they infuse it with THC. So it's like whatever, 50 milligrams for a bottle of wine, but the wine's got no alcohol in it.
How do people find you up there?
We're in Summerland, kind of just really like 5 minutes from downtown Summerland. So super easy to find us.
Cool. Thank you for this.
Yeah, cheers.
He is the genial Mike Petko, the cider maker and the owner at Nomad Handcrafted Cider in Summerland. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the Wine Online National Wine Awards, number one winery in Canada. Summer hours are here. They're open now until Thanksgiving. The Castle is open daily, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. After 6 weeks of renovation,
refurbishing, kitchen and outdoor patio expansion, complete with a new outdoor kitchen and pizza oven, the Unsworth restaurant is reopened. There's a great new menu and an Easter brunch on Sunday, April 21st. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. And welcome back. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is our coverage of the third annual BC Cider Festival, the wrap-up event at the foot of Lonsdale in North Vancouver at the Pipe Shop. Now, before we get to our last two interviews, next week it's Bloom in Victoria with Michael Mosney from Winemaker's Cut, Bobby Gita from Volcanic Hills, Jeff Hundredmark, the head winemaker at Mont Boucherie, Tim Turek from Unsworth and the Cowichan, Richard Da Silva, who just changed his label from Misconduct to Da Silva, Bob Johnson from Bailey Groman, Stefan Arneson, the winemaker at Poplar Grove, and many more. And in 2 weeks' time, it's Top Drop Victoria. Now, the last two interviews for our cider special. Jeff Nairn is the co-founder of Windfall Cider, who actually do their harvest in the back alleys of East Vancouver. It's a great story. But first, we start with Geo Cider in Squamish. Please welcome Glenn Ennis and the lovely and talented Lynn Collier.
What's going on at the counter here?
Well, we are tasting Geo Cider. We're a brand new cidery up in Squamish, BC, and our hashtag is Cider Revolution. It's different. It's not the cider that you usually expect.
So, wait a minute, the words traditional don't...
Not so much, no. We're trying to push cider out to people who traditionally have not drank cider, let's say. That's the only tradition we're bucking. We got a lot of unusual flavors, and it's making people who said, I never drink cider. And then they walk out saying, I love this cider.
Okay, Lynn poured me a couple. What have you got on the table?
What you drank out of there was a dark fruit, I believe, is maybe what you had. And we have an old world. That's close as we come to a traditional drier cider.
The old world?
Is the old world. But everything else we would call semi-dry. We tried to appeal to the broadest swath of drinkers out there, not traditional cider drinkers, but drinkers in general. And we found that that falls kind of in the middle, not too dry, not too sweet, semi-dry. The old traditional, I don't drink cider, it's too sweet, I can't possibly have another one. We fall under that, so you can have a couple and still really enjoy it. That's our goal.
Well, you can see what's going on around you. I mean, everybody's trying to do something, capture something. So then where are you? Where do you place yourself? Are you in the middle of all of this?
You could say we're in the middle of it. Yeah, we're certainly not at any extreme. The only extreme is we have a huge amount of flavors. We've got 9 flavors now. Some of them unusual, like a blood orange and a navy rum. We just came out with a new one, tequila lime. It tastes just like a margarita. So you don't expect that in a cider. And I think if you get into our host of flavors, you'll really be surprised that it is actually cider.
Where are you getting your fruit from?
It's all Okanagan, so we don't have an orchard. We're an urban cidery up in Squamish, BC, as I said. So we're staying local in that the apples are coming from the Okanagan. And one other thing I want to point out is that we are the first company in Canada to use eco six-pack rings. Our six-pack rings don't harm wildlife or marine life. They're biodegradable, they're compostable, and they're actually edible. So turtles and fish can eat these things. We're the first company in Canada. We're very, very proud of that. And because geo means of the earth, and so we're taking it seriously, and we're trying to protect it a little bit. We're paying a little bit more for it, but we think it's worth it.
But geo's your name.
Geo's my cider maker's name. My brother and I are the guys behind it, and one more partner, and we've all traveled the world extensively, tried new things, and so we thought that kind of worked nicely with the fact that Geo means of the earth, and our cider maker's nickname is Geo, and it all just kind of fell together.
You want to take a guess as to what the cider business will be like in 5 years?
I think it'll be like what the craft beer business was like about 5 years ago. I think we're following about 10 years behind the craft beer business. It's growing in a big wave, and that's where we're going to be. I think it's like 30% a year that it's growing, but it's probably going to move on from there.
And obviously you can be based anywhere.
You can be based anywhere, yeah. We're kind of close to the big center of Vancouver, but Squamish was a better fit for us, we thought. And it's a very actually cosmopolitan place, actually, and I think it's a good base for us being with our adventure background and our adventure feel and our try new things kind of a twist that we're throwing at cider.
Cool. Let me ask Lynn something.
Yeah.
Lynn, tell me about that cider you poured for me.
The Old World apple. It's our traditional apple cider, which is what all of our ciders are based on. So what we do with that, our cider maker takes our traditional apple cider and then he adds natural flavorings, no sugar. Everything is gluten-free. And two of our ciders are actually still, so non-carbonated, our punch bowl and our iced tea. To give you an option for a cider drinker, it's nice to be able to have a cider that doesn't have all the bubbles.
What's your favorite and why?
I love the blood orange. It's got a bit of tartness to it. It's light. You can drink it kind of anytime. It's got, I think it has the best flavor.
You guys, come here. Here's the question of the day. When will we see, how long before we start to see a cannabis-infused cider?
Ooh,
I don't think they're going to ever allow the two to go together. You know what? I just don't think alcohol and cannabis is going to be something that someone's going to be able to finally work around.
You mean if they take the alcohol out of the cider, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you're probably going to get some drinks coming down the pipe pretty soon, but I doubt if they'll have both alcohol and cannabis in the same drink.
But who knew? You'd be able to buy cannabis on the street or
yes,
who knew?
Right? Yeah.
So it all could change.
And finally, do you have a tasting room where people can go?
We have a full restaurant. Absolutely, a 50-seat restaurant.
Where?
50-seat restaurant in Squamish, BC. We have a Red Seal chef. So our menu is fantastic. We have a patio. We have a mezzanine for groups. We've got it all going on there.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Okay, it's fair to say that when we made plans to come and cover the third annual BC Cider Festival at in North Vancouver at the Pipe Shop, one of the stories that I wanted to do a follow-up on was Windfall Cider. And Jeff Narn is the co-founder. He stopped me over by the store. I love the fact that you were harvesting some of your fruit from the back alleys of East Vancouver in people's backyards that were maybe planted by their grandfathers or their great-grandfathers, and you saw something special in that fruit.
Yeah, we found last year we had three ciders here. We had Windfall Lost and Found, Windfall Higher Education, and Windfall Jackpot. Windfall Lost and Found, those are the apples that 40% of which were picked in and around the alleys of East Vancouver. So it was my wife and I, we just took our bikes into the alleyways and mapped out a whole bunch of apple trees in the summer of last year and went and picked them.
What was your pitch?
What was our pitch? Well, in most cases, people can only make so many apple pies and make so much applesauce.
Oh,
so our pitch was like, we'll come in, we'll take your apples so you don't have to throw them in the garbage.
Yeah.
And we'll clean up your yard. And for the most part, we found some amazing apple varietals.
What did you find was the most surprising?
We found an apple varietal called Baldwin, which I think I might have told you about last year. But that apple tree has probably been growing on the side of Grandview Highway for the last like 40, 50 years. And it made an absolutely stunning contribution to the overall apple because it's a real apple, it's a real cider apple.
And isn't it astounding how apple and pear trees can survive being ignored?
Oh yeah.
I mean, they just go from year to year to year. Where flowers would wither and die, they just keep going.
Yeah, and we want to talk to the city of Vancouver because they do have a map of all the fruit trees in Vancouver. So we want to talk to them and actually start pruning some of these trees and making them healthier apple trees at the end of the day. The other thing, the other place that we found apples, we found a full orchard. And I call it an orchard because there are 14 apple trees that line a street in East Vancouver, all on public property. And these are Gravenstein apples. So there'd be 9,000 pounds of apples that would grow on these trees every year.
So what are you pouring today?
Lost and Found, which you just had a taste of. That's the foraged apple cider. And then we've also got Hail Mary, which is a rosé cider that we launched about a month ago. So our second flagship outside of Windfall Jackpot is Windfall Hail Mary. So Windfall Hail Mary is all dessert apples. So Granny Smith, Macintosh, Spartan, kind of apples you'd find in a grocery store. And we use Saskatoon berries for the flavor and the color to give it a nice light rosé.
Okay, Lost and Found.
Yeah.
I love this, but it seems to me that each year is going to be different just because of Mother Nature and the terroir. But is this a field blend? Is it a field blend? Do you just throw them all together?
Yes.
Or is it a delicate balance?
No, we take what we can get and we press them all together and make the apple juice accordingly. So yeah, the blend will be very, very different.
So
from
how
year
different
to year.
Is this year from last year, say?
Last year's was less tannic. Last year's was less rounded. This year, I'm so happy with this juice that I back sweetened none at all. I wanted the apple cider to stand on its own without any sugar, and I dropped the carbonation as well. So the carbonation is about 25% less than what it was last year.
And cider. How much does the story, in the retelling of the story, how much does that happen in the brand?
I think it does, and I know it does. I mean, that's part of the name Windfall Cider came from a story from my childhood, and that was when my mother got my sister and I to climb up into a U-pick orchard, the trees in a U-pick orchard, to shake the trees. She gathered up those apples and brought them to the till and called them Windfall apples, which were cheaper.
After you announced that this is how you were harvesting in the East End, did you get phone calls and emails to people telling you about their trees?
In some cases, yes. And we're going to get a lot more focused on that this year. We're going to have a press campaign to let people know that we're doing that. So we'd like to get under the radio. We'd like to talk to you prior to that harvest so we can get the word out and get people to actually pick their trees and give us the boxes, as opposed to us actually going in and physically picking, because it's a lot of work.
What will the cider business look like in 5 years?
Consumers are starting to experiment with new, interesting flavors. They're getting more adventurous. The cider makers are getting more adventurous. I see on your list of ciders that you've talked to, Nomad, they're making some amazing things. They're barrel aging ciders and bourbon barrels and rye barrels and rum barrels. We're doing that as well. But as the consumer continues to buy those new innovative products, innovation will be spurred on by the cideries as well. And you'll start to see an amazing cider business in 5 years.
Okay, Jeff, last question. I'm looking around this room. There's another 100 people on the outside as well. Who are the cider drinkers? What's driving this? What age group? What gender? What do you think?
Well, that's it's a great question. Cider has typically been skewed more towards female drinkers.
Yeah.
60% female, 40% male.
Hello.
You're starting to see that change pretty radically as males become more accustomed to what cider is. And it's drier ciders that are attracting that group of people. But the cider drinkers are anybody that wants to experience something new. The neat thing about cider that isn't mentioned a lot but should, cider's gluten-free. Cider's a fruit wine.
Yeah.
So it's naturally and 100% gluten-free. The other cool thing about cider that a lot of people don't realize, it's a raw beverage. Unlike beer, it's never exposed to any heat processes during its fermentation. It's not brewed, it's fermented. So you could say that it's a healthier beverage. It's still alcohol, but gluten-free, it's not as filling as a beer would be. And I think that's what's driving the innovation and more attraction into the product.
I also happen to think that cider makes you taller.
I need that too.
The name is Windfall. His name is Jeff Nairn. He is the co-founder of this amazing success story. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'll see you next year.
You bet.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. After 6 weeks of renovation, refurbishing, kitchen and outdoor patio expansion, complete with a new outdoor kitchen and pizza oven, the Unsworth restaurant is reopened. There's a great new menu and an Easter brunch on Sunday, April 21st. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.